Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. So the fallout from the FTX Chapter 11 bankruptcy carries on, and the crypto markets are still impacting. But there's a lot of commentators are saying that this is a short-term dip, that things are going to recover, everything will be fine in the long term. And the question I wanted to ask in today's video is this the bursting of the crypto bubble? Now, I'm old enough to have lived through the dot-com bubble back in the late 1990s. And at that time, everybody was talking about the internet. It was the latest, greatest thing. Everything was going onto the internet. And there was a massive wave of companies that emerged all over the world that were starting up all sorts of online businesses and ideas, and billions of dollars of investment got thrown into those companies. And the valuation of some of those companies was off the scale. And this was companies that hadn't even done anything. These were just ideas that people at a business school had to be able to do something on the internet. And of course, as we all know, the dot-com bubble eventually burst. And a couple of companies that were around at that time did survive, such as Amazon and eBay, and they went on to be massive entities. But the vast majority of the companies at that time disappeared off the face of the earth. And the big question is, are we seeing a crypto bubble right now? Is this history repeating itself 20 years on? So in today's video, what I want to do is have a look at exactly what's happened to the market cap of crypto over the course of the last couple of years. And we'll look at the events that's caused a drop in the market cap for crypto. And we'll talk about whether or not this is a short-term dip or whether this is a fundamental problem with the crypto markets. We'll then have a look at what happened in the dot-com boom, what caused the bubble to burst, and whether there are any similarities to what's happening right now. I then want to talk about SEX. And when I say SEX, I mean CEX, centralized exchanges versus decentralized exchanges, because there's a fundamental difference in the way that you buy and sell crypto depending on what method you use. And what's happened over the course of the last couple of weeks with FTX, which is a centralized exchange, could cause a fundamental shift in the market. We'll then go on to have a look at what Cathie Wood, who's the leader of a major investment fund called ARK and a longtime supporter of crypto, what she's been doing as a result of what's happened over the last couple of weeks, some interesting trades that she's made. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to what I think is going on right now in the crypto markets, whether or not this bubble is about to burst, and what the long-term implications are both for the crypto markets and the global markets. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. And also, I'd just like to say quickly that I never, ever will post any messages asking you to contact me on WhatsApp or Telegram or any of these exchanges. If you get a message like that sent to you directly, it's a scam. If you see those messages in the comments, please report those guys, because they're trying to rip you off. They're trying to take money off you. It isn't me. I know there's a picture of me that they're copying and they're trying to claim that it's me trying to say, hey guys, check me out, I've got a new idea, something that I wouldn't actually say. Please report those people immediately, because the last thing that I want is for anybody to get ripped off by scammers, because I hate scammers. This chart shows the market capitalization of all crypto coins in issuance dating back to May 2013, which you may be surprised to see that the chart goes back that far, but actually Bitcoin was created in January 2009, so it's been around for over 13 years. And because the scale of this graph is measured in trillions of dollars, it looks like there was virtually no value until around 2018. But back in 2013, the market cap of all of the coins in issuance was actually around $1.7 billion. So it's still a relatively significant enterprise, albeit small in a global context. Now in 2018, interest in crypto started to increase around the world, and the market cap of all the coins, which were led predominantly at that stage by Bitcoin, rose above $800 billion in January of 2018. Now after that initial boom, we saw what was referred to as the crypto winter, and prices fell dramatically, and the market cap fell back down and moved from between $100 billion and $200 billion for the next couple of years. However, towards the end of 2020, interest in cryptocurrency started to increase dramatically, as did the level of investment that a lot of cryptocurrency businesses were receiving. And from October 2020 through to May 2021, there was a dramatic increase in the value of cryptocurrencies. And the total market cap at that time increased firstly through $1 trillion and then rose to $2.5 trillion in May 2021. So this was a remarkable increase, and the fever and excitement levels at that time were huge. Heavy investment started to pour into the industry, and after a brief fall, prices took off again. And by November 2021, the total market capitalization had increased to $2.8 trillion. And at that time, Bitcoin achieved a price of around $65,000 per Bitcoin. And there was a lot of talk from investors that Bitcoin was going all the way to $100,000 per coin. And you may have seen pictures of supporters of Bitcoin with laser eyes, and this was their laser focus on that $100,000 target. However, despite all of the excitement, prices started to fall, and by January 2022, the total market capitalization had fallen to less than $1.7 trillion. This didn't deter all of the supporters still talking about a $100,000 target for Bitcoin, and in the spring of 22, prices rallied, and for a brief period in March, the total market cap rose back up above $2 trillion. Now, if we change the scale of this graph to look at what's happened over the course of the last 12 months, you can see firstly that there is a strong overall downward trend. This time last year, the total market capitalization was sitting at around $2.7 trillion. However, at the start of 2022, prices started to come down due to increasing concerns about some of the coins in issuance. One of the coins causing the most concern was called Terra Luna, which is what's referred to in crypto as a stable coin. And the idea behind stable coins is that they will have a stable or fixed value. And often these prices are benchmarked against the US dollar. Now, if you're not a crypto expert, you may be thinking, what's the point of a stable coin? I thought everybody was buying crypto to make profit on the price going up. So if you've got a cryptocurrency that doesn't actually move in value, then there's no real attraction to it. Well, the main reason why these stable coins have been created is to try to take crypto into the mainstream, to encourage people to use crypto as a form of currency in exactly the same way as they're using US dollars. So the aim of these stablecoins is really to provide the bridge into the mainstream markets so that everybody will start using crypto rather than traditional currencies or fiat currencies as they're referred to. But the way that Terra Luna had been created was that to give it its stable price, there was a counterbalancing currency that was floating in value. And somebody in the market identified the fact that if they started shorting the floating currency, that would potentially make them a whole lot of profit. And what happened was that this destabilized the Terra Luna value, and as those trades started to build up, it put a lot of pressure onto Terra Luna, and we saw the currency collapse. And this currency went from a total market capitalization of $40 billion to zero in a very short space of time. And we can see the direct impact of the Terra Luna collapse on the total market capitalization chart. At the start of May 2022, the total market cap for all coins in issuance was sitting at $1.75 trillion. Immediately following Terra Luna's collapse, the market cap fell to $1.2 trillion. So that represents a fall in value of $500 billion. And as you can see from the chart since then, the market has never recovered that value. But unfortunately for the crypto markets, that wasn't the end of the story. Because as Terra Luna went down, it had a knock-on impact to a number of other crypto businesses, which also then went bust. The first of these was a venture capital company called Three Arrows Capital that had a lot of money invested into Terra Luna, and it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on the 1st of July. And the knock-on impact of that failure was that three large crypto lenders also ended up going into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Voyager, which was a company that had been valued at $3.74 billion in 2021, stated that it had a $650 million exposure to Three Arrows Capital and filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on July the 6th. Celsius, which is another crypto lender and had a peak valuation of $3.25 billion, also filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, as did a Singapore-based crypto lender called Vold. The impact and reverberations of these failures caused the market cap to fall from $1.2 trillion to $850 billion. Now, there was a small brief recovery in crypto prices through the summer of 2022, and the market cap rose to above $1 trillion. However, the recent failure of FTX has removed all of those price increases, and the total market capitalization of all coins in issuance is now less than $850 billion again. And as you'll be aware if you're following the channel, there are now a number of other companies that are at risk who are struggling as a direct result of the FTX failure. And the question is, where is the market cap going next? So as I said at the start of the video, I want to talk about the dot-com bubble. The 1990s was a period of rapid technological development and growth. And the development of the internet and the commercialization of it was the big thing. Everybody was talking about what was going to happen in the future. Everything was going to become digital. It was all going to be happening. But back at that time, none of it actually was reality. You could talk about the internet, but nobody was really using it. There were some very early adopters of email and those sorts of things. But if you think back to what was happening at that time, mobile phones were the size of house bricks, and nobody was really doing anything digital. It was still a cash economy. But the future looked bright, and every single whiz kid that came out of business school had a new online idea about what they were going to do with the internet. And as you might expect, because of all of the excitement about the future value, a lot of money was invested directly into all of these tech companies. This chart shows total venture capital investments in the USA dating back to 1995. The green bars on this chart show the amount invested per quarter, and the scale on the right-hand side is in tens of billions. And the blue line is the total number of deals that were being invested into, and that's measured on the left-hand side in thousands. And as you can see, the dot-com bubble is plain to see. Between 1999 and 2000, there was an enormous amount of capital that was invested into tech businesses. And when you look at the long-term trend here, you can see that the amount that was invested at that time was off the scale. It does not follow the general trend. If you drew a straight line between the start of 1995 and the end of 2017, it would cut right through the bottom of that dot-com bubble. And looking back at this chart in the cold light of day, you can see how crazy it was to invest that amount of money. It is not in line with the way business works. Business builds up its investment levels, it gets growth, it gets returns, and then you invest more. What you don't do is throw an enormous amount of capital into a completely new idea and hope that it's going to be a complete revolution, that things are going to change overnight. That's generally not the way business works. You don't get instant massive returns by throwing a huge amount of cash into something. And the reason for that is because you need the market to move along with all of those businesses. And if the market isn't there, then clearly those businesses are not going to be able to make any profit. And that was part of the problem with the dot-com bubble, was that everybody wanted the internet to happen overnight. But of course, you need consumers and businesses and everybody else to adopt all of these changes. And that doesn't tend to happen overnight. So let's talk that through in a bit more detail. In 1995, you can see that the total amount being invested by US venture capital was somewhere in the region of $2 to $2.5 billion per quarter. Over the next 4 years, those investment amounts increased steadily. And by 1999, US venture capital was investing around $8 billion per quarter. However, between the middle of 1999 and the middle of 2001, those investment amounts increased dramatically. And in the first half of 2000, more than $65 billion was invested into companies. And the total investment amount in 2000 was more than $120 billion, which is almost the same that was invested in the previous 4 years. And in terms of the number of deals that were being done, in 1995, venture capital companies were doing around 600 deals per quarter. However, by the peak of the dot-com bubble, they were doing more than 2,250 deals per quarter. And what these graphs tell us, therefore, are two things. Firstly, the amount of money that was going into the market during that dot-com bubble period was insane. It's completely out of line with what was being done at that point. And secondly, the number of deals was also off the scale. These guys were betting on everything. So they were just hoping that something was going to come good. And that tells us that there was insufficient due diligence being done on all of those companies, because the industry is set up to work at a certain level. And if you look at what was happening in 95, 96, the level of deal flow that the industry could cope with was somewhere in the region of 600 or 700 deals per quarter. to be able to increase that to more than 2,250 deals, that represents more than a 3x movement. And I could tell you that there wasn't a 3x increase in the number of people working in the industry. What happened was that deals were being done with far less due diligence. So you weren't doing the same level of investigation that you had been doing previously. And that, of course, is very dangerous, particularly when you're talking about a brand new idea that hasn't been developed before. And at that point, everybody was saying, this is an industrial revolution. We've never seen the likes of this before. The internet is the next big thing. You don't really understand it. It's very advanced technology. Therefore, give us the money and we will prove how right we are. And just to give you some stats on that, by 1999, 39% of all venture capital investments were going into internet companies. And in that year, 457 IPOs, which was the vast majority of all of the IPOs done, were related to internet companies. And in the first quarter of 2000 alone, there were 91 internet-related IPOs. And this chart shows us the movement in the value of the Nasdaq between 1995 and 2003. And you can see that in 1999, the Nasdaq index was sitting around 1,500. However, because of the excitement around technology stocks and the internet and all of these new IPO tech businesses that were coming onto Nasdaq, by 2000, the value had increased to almost 5,000, which represents an increase of more than 3x in an 18-month period. So this was happy days for all of the investors. Everybody thought, this is the change, this is what we've been waiting for, the internet's here, we're all going to be millionaires by buying internet stocks. But of course, the dot-com bubble eventually burst, and you can see the rapid decline in the value of the Nasdaq between 2000 and 2001, and the index actually fell below where it had been in 1999. So why did the dot-com bubble burst? What went wrong? Well, as I mentioned earlier, one of the problems was that nobody was doing any risk analysis. Nobody was really looking at the viability of these companies. A lot of investors were taking a leap of faith that there was going to be a complete change in the way business was done and that all of these internet businesses would be successful. And of course, that was never going to happen. That was fool's gold. People were chasing a dream that was never going to become a reality. And so a lot of these companies were not actually viable entities. They were ideas that would never really translate into the business world. So a lot of money was wasted on flights of fancy. But also what happened was that there were a lot of companies that were fueled by huge amounts of capital. So venture capital companies were handing over hundreds of millions of dollars to companies, which was fueling their growth, enabling them to embark on lots of marketing and talk about what was going to happen. And as soon as all of that money dried up, those companies became insolvent and had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So basically, they were being paid to grow this idea, to talk about what was going to happen. But as soon as they had to stand on their own 2 feet and become viable from a cash flow point of view, they failed. And another reason why we saw so many companies failing was because the venture capital market hadn't been discriminate. They hadn't tried to pick out the single winners. They just bet on everything in the market, hoping that something was going to come good. And when you do that, obviously, you're going to have a high degree of failure because not all new companies will succeed. In fact, if you look at the failure rate of new companies, it's extremely high. And what we had here was venture capital was backing lots and lots of new companies simultaneously. And so there were only ever going to be a very small number of winners. So Amazon is the classic example of the company that came through all of this and has done well. But at that time, when you think back, Amazon was a bookseller. That's what they were doing. They were selling books on the internet. And of course, Jeff Bezos then developed the idea to go much wider and to become an all-encompassing retailer. But at that point, everybody that thought of Amazon would have thought of books. So hindsight is a wonderful thing. And when we look back now, obviously, we can see that the dot-com bubble was a huge mistake. And we wonder why everybody was throwing tens of billions of dollars at these companies. But at the time, it seemed like the way forward. It seemed like the way to make a lot of money in a very short space of time. And that's one of my concerns, is that there are a lot of similarities between what happened in the dot-com bubble and what's happening right now with crypto. When people talk about crypto, they talk about this being a revolution, a sea change, something that's never been seen before, something that's really complicated and technical, can't really explain it, I can't really tell you much about it. All I can tell you is that it's the future. This is where the world is going. And that's the story that we were told about the internet back in the late 1990s. Now, obviously, the internet has become mainstream and it has become a big success for a lot of entities. But over the period of the late 1990s and early 2000s, there were a lot of casualties in that story. And it took a long time for everybody to accept that they wanted to do online business. They wanted to make purchases online. And it's only really over the last 10 years that it's grown to be enormous all around the world. And I think there's a lot of similarities to what's happening with crypto. Maybe there's a long-term case for crypto. Maybe the decentralization of payments is the way forward, and that's what's going to happen. But it's going to take a long time for it to become mainstream. And until it becomes mainstream, it won't become big business from an actual cash flow and profit perspective. Your business will survive fine if you're being given hundreds of millions of dollars by venture capital on a regular basis. But as soon as that money dries up, you need to be able to pay your own way. And that's the biggest challenge facing all of the crypto businesses right now. Are they ever going to be able to stand on their own two feet? Now, this chart shows the level of venture capital investment that's been made into cryptocurrency businesses over the course of the last 4 years. And once again here, we've got a bar chart which shows the total value invested into the industry. And we've got a line chart which shows the total number of deals. In 2019, $5.3 billion was invested into 663 deals. In 2020, $5.7 billion was invested into 660 deals. However, in 2021, $32.1 billion was invested into 1,583 deals, which represents an increase of 5.6 times in total value and almost 2.5 times in terms of number of deals. And in the first half of 2022, that investment amount and deal flow has remained equally high, with $14.2 billion being invested in 725 deals. So what this chart is showing is a bubble in terms of investment. In 2021, there was a dramatic increase in the value invested and also in the total number of deals. And as I mentioned earlier in this video, I don't think the industry has been moving at the same rate. So the level of due diligence that's been done by these venture capital firms cannot be the same in 2021 as it was in 2019 and 2020. And there are a lot of similarities here to what we've just discussed about the dot-com bubble. It seems like the market is betting on every single company. Somebody has a new idea, somebody comes up with a new concept in crypto, and then somebody gives them hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to live out that dream. So these figures really do indicate that history seems to be repeating itself for cryptocurrency. As I mentioned at the start of the video, Cathie Wood is a renowned investor into the tech world and is a big follower of crypto. She's the founder and leader of ARK Investments, which has over $60 billion of assets under management. And she famously has predicted that Bitcoin will rise to $1 million in value per coin by 2030. And she was asked just recently whether or not she still stands by that prediction. And she has said very firmly, yes, I do. But she's not just talking a good game during this period, she's actually following her money. And she's been investing into two crypto-related businesses over the course of the last week or so since the FTX collapse was announced. The two stocks that she's been backing are Coinbase, which is another centralized exchange very similar to FTX, one of FTX's competitors. She now believes that Coinbase will benefit from the fact that FTX has gone down, that people will now be looking to move their assets and do their business with another centralized exchange. And the other company is a business called Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which is a listed entity that buys Bitcoin, and its price is meant to move exactly in line with Bitcoin. So if you don't want to go through all the hassle of actually buying Bitcoin directly, you can buy shares in this company and benefit from the swings in value of Bitcoin. ARK Funds purchased nearly 177,000 shares in Grayscale Bitcoin Trust worth $1.5 million, which follows on from a recent trade to buy 315,000 shares valued at around 2.8. In addition to this, the two funds have also purchased around 1.3 million coin shares worth $56 million, which takes ARK's total holding in the stock to 8.37 million shares. And in a recent interview with Bloomberg, Cathie Wood stated, "I think Coinbase is going to come out of this very strong. It's just lost a very big competitor in FTX." Coin and Grayscale Trust now make up ARK's 14th and 41st largest holdings across all its funds. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because everybody's wondering what's going to happen to crypto. Is this a dip in the market? Is this just a short-term blip? Or are we seeing a longer-term trend towards people moving back away from crypto? Is this a repeat of the dot-com bubble? Well, of course, we'll have to wait for the answer to that because only time will tell whether or not crypto is going to become a mainstream payment mechanism or whether or not this is something that goes back to being something that isn't accepted by the mainstream. My gut feel on this is that there are two things happening in the market. Firstly, I think there will be a move away from the centralized exchanges to the decentralized because there's less risk attached to decentralized dealing. If you're doing it yourself, if you're holding all of your cryptocurrency in cold wallets that you're in charge of, then it doesn't matter if Coinbase or FTX or anybody else goes bust because your holdings are safe. You've still got access to all of that currency. When you have it in a hot wallet on one of these exchanges, the centralized exchanges, then clearly if that company goes bust, then your funds are at risk. And that's exactly what's happening right now with FTX. Those million customers who are holding currency with them are now at risk of getting nothing back. And I think that's really going to deal a hammer blow to the industry. It will put off everybody who is casually dealing in crypto. If you were thinking, yeah, maybe I'll buy $50 worth of crypto this weekend just to see how things go. Maybe I'll make $1 million profit at some point in the future. All of those people will have their fingers burned and they will be put off forever. But the hardcore users, people who see there's a future in crypto that want to do this as a long-term investment, will stick with it and they'll stick with the decentralized exchanges. But of course, the problem with that is that the centralized exchanges are the mainstream bridge. These are the companies that are actually bringing in mainstream investors. So in order for crypto to go mainstream, it really needs that mechanism to get people on board. And I think what's happened with FTX is going to delay mainstream acceptance for crypto. I don't think we will see the man in the street wanting to use crypto anytime soon. So when we look at what happened with the dot-com bubble, it was a very similar scenario. In 1999 and 2000, early adopters wanted to go all in on the internet, but it took mainstream markets a long time, 10, 15, even 20 years to get there. And so over the long period, those internet businesses have done well. And that's where a lot of value lies today in the stock markets. When we talk about the FANG businesses, they're all digital enterprises. But it hasn't happened overnight. And I don't think it's going to happen overnight for crypto. The venture capital industry wanted it to happen. They've been putting tens of billions of dollars into crypto in exactly the same way as they did back in the late 1990s with the internet. But what happened then may well repeat itself today. We may well see a lot of these new companies, new ideas going bust because they're just not viable. It isn't possible for all of these enterprises to be successful simultaneously because the market simply isn't there. People aren't using crypto on a daily basis in the same way as they're using the internet on a daily basis. And that's what happened to those internet businesses back in 99. Everybody wanted it to happen overnight, but it just simply didn't occur. And I think that's what's going to be the situation with crypto. I think we're going to see this bubble bursting. I think a lot of the money that's been invested into these companies will be lost because not all of them will be viable. There will be some winners. Maybe Bitcoin is the Amazon of today. Maybe it's the one enterprise that will become massively successful. And maybe Cathie Wood is right. Maybe by 2030, Bitcoin will be at $1 million per Bitcoin. But in the short to medium term, it doesn't look like we're going to see an overnight revolution. It doesn't look like we're going to see those prices bouncing back. And I think there's a lot of pain to come over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. And in terms of what's the impact of this on the overall global markets, well, it's going to be negative, unfortunately, because as I've mentioned in previous videos, it's real world money that's gone into the crypto markets. Those tens of billions of dollars that I showed you in the graph earlier are real dollars that have gone into these markets. It's unlikely that they're going to come out the other end. Most of that money is going to get written off. It's going to be lost. So that will have an impact on all of those fund managers, all of the people who invested in those funds. It will reduce people's net worth and therefore will have a reduction in the amount of capital circulating in the economy, and that's going to increase the slowdown that we're already seeing. So unfortunately, there is a real world impact. This isn't just a case study that we can look at and say the crypto investments, that was an interesting scenario. This is actually real money that people are losing in the real world. So hopefully you found today's episode interesting, useful, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end, because I know they're quite long, but hopefully you found it fun.